Welcome back. Welcome back. This is the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast. We're on episode 135. We got a nice little episode today. Before I get started, let me give you a word from one of my sponsors. Also, don't forget that the video version of my podcast goes to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram TV, and Rumble. And we also take the video and we'll take the pre-recorded video and stream it live on three of the Twitter accounts, being that Twitter doesn't let me upload the whole episode at once without live streaming it. So it'll go to Twitter at Promo Palace LLC, Twitter at Paul P Podcast, and Twitter at Paul W Pickett. And of course, follow us on Rumble. Videos are monetized from day one on Rumble. All right, let me get into a word from our sponsors.
Me and my team, whenever we link up, they gonna be drink up. We sit and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the boss and I'm not talking drink up. So tell the bartender that tend to the bar to please pass me a big cup up. And tell the waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting, listen, no waiting for that tropical twist. That'll take your taste buds. Now taste some. Now I insist it's the drizzle.
That's DizzleBrand.com, a mixture of agave tequila, cognac, orange liquor, mango mix. And at the end of the video, of course, was Mike Dizzle, the creator of Dizzle. Dizzle Brand, premium luxury liqueur. Also, that was Chip Fu doing the Dizzle Brand commercial as well for the Food Snickers. Check them out, DizzleBrand.com. You can get the hats, got the hats, got the t-shirts. Also, if you want to buy bottles of Dizzle online, go to DizzleBrand.com, click on our locations, and the top three links are online order links from distributors. As long as you're 21 and older, you can order your very own bottle of Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur, as well as the merch, too. Let me pull up some scores. I didn't do a episode yesterday, so we're going to get into Saturday scores. My bad. Actually, we're going to talk about Friday scores, Saturdays, and then the games today. Atlanta beat Miami 111 to 110, barely. They needed that win. So it's 2-1 right now, and hopefully Atlanta can win next game and tie it up 2-2. Milwaukee beat Chicago to make the series 2-1. And Phoenix had beat New Orleans Pelicans to make it 2-1. And, of course, let me pull up these box scores. Definitely going to pull up some box scores, let you know who did what, why certain teams won the game. Had a 20. From Jimmy Butler, but you got a little bit more balance from the Hawks. You had 17 from DeAndre Hunter, Danilo Gallinari 11, 13 from Kevin Huerter, 24 from Trae Young, 18 from Bogdan Bogdanovich, and DeLon Wright gave you 13 as well. They barely won by a point. Milwaukee, Chicago. Bobby Portis, of course, started. He put up 18. Giannis, 18. 16, Drew Holiday. 22 from Grayson Allen. And 11 from Pat Connaughton. They got 40-something points off the bench, you know. And they had three starters score 16 points or more. That's hard to win, man. DeRozan put up 11, 19 from Nikola Vucevic, and Zach LaVine, 15. Yeah, Bulls didn't do much that game. And then let's pull up this Phoenix box score. Come on, load up. Phoenix and New Orleans box score. We got Mikal Bridges had 17, 10 from Jay Crowder, 28 from DeAndre Ayton, 28 from Chris Paul. I mean, you had Chip and you get contribution. You got three other players scored double figures. Brandon Ingram put up 34, CJ 30, but they got two other players scored in double figures, but I don't know, it just wasn't enough. It was 12 from Herbert Jones, 12 from Devontae Graham, 30 from McCollum. They needed more from Valanciunas, more from Jackson Hayes. I don't know why they even got him starting. All right, so pull up these other games. All right, so Boston won last night. Hold up, let's all right, so my bad. Philly, Toronto. Toronto won a game basically because Siakam's big game. Pulled his box score. Danny Green gave you 6. Tobias Harris, 15. 21 from Joel. 11 Matt from Maxey. 22 from James Harden. Every big game from Pascal Siakam, 34. Gary Trent with 24. And then 11 into 13. And then you had about 3 or 4 other players score. So, and that's the thing. This can happen. No, first round, I mean, just because Sixers lose a game, man, you know, they're literally going to go up. They're going to win the series 4-1. I mean, it's pretty much over. Dallas lost to Utah, and Luka came back, but they only lost by 1 point. And the series is tied. I like Dallas's chances of getting out the first round with Luka Doncic back healthy. Boston beat Brooklyn. And actually, let me pull up this box score of Dallas and Utah. I mean, 11 from Bullock, Finney Smith, 11, Dwight Powell, 11, 23 from Jalen Brunson, and 30 from Luka. And that's the thing. Luka comes back, Jalen Brunson. He shot 40%, though. Jalen Brunson hits more shots. They win it. Spencer Dinwiddie shot 22%. He hits a few more shots. They win it. And Spencer Dinwiddie definitely is it definitely prohibits Spencer Dinwiddie from doing what he did the last couple games because Luka's back. And in Utah, you had 23 from Donovan Mitchell, 25 from Jordan Clarkson, 17 from Rudy Gobert, 12 from Bojan Bogdanovic. They all got the same last name, damn near. This was crazy. And there was a lot of negatives on their team, too, so they lucky they even won that. I mean, they barely won that. Boston beats Brooklyn. Brooklyn ain't taking it this time. I'll tell you that much. They're not taking it this time. You got 39 out of Jason Tatum, 39 piece, 23 out of Brown. I mean, both of their guys have been doing their thing. Marcus Smart, 14 points. 10 points for Peyton Pritchard. I mean, both of their guys have been balling out. Kevin Durant, 16. Bruce Brown, 26. 10 from Curry, 16 from Kyrie, 13, 12. It just won't no big. they had some balance. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players scored in double figures. But when you got a 39 and a 23, 14 and a 10, man, it's – I don't know what to tell you, man. And Minnesota beat Memphis, of course, also. And I'm going to go to that box score. And then I want to kind of go back into this Brooklyn game. Dylan Brooks, 24, 34 from Desmond Bane. He needed more from Ja Morant, man. 11. He had 15 assists, but, I mean, he was 4 for 13. You needed more from him, man. You just needed more. Ja Morant is the reason they lost that game. And he knows it. That's why I like Ja Morant. He wants all that smoke. He going up the chimney. He want all that smoke. Or down the chimney. It don't matter. But you had a lot of balance share from the Wolves. 24, 12, 33, 17, 10, 16. Carl Anthony Towns. I guess that wine worked. I guess that wine worked. I want to get into this Brooklyn Nets-Boston game. I don't want to hear that Kevin Durant is the best player in the world no more. I don't want to hear it, man. He hasn't done nothing this series. Bruce Brown is averaging more this series than Kevin Durant is. I don't want to hear no more that Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. Kevin Durant does not make nobody around him better. To be the best player in the world, I think you have to make other players around you better. You got to make everybody else's job just so much easier. And when you just play an ISO ball like ISO street ball like Kevin and Kyrie are doing, it doesn't really make everybody's job easier because they're just standing around and watching. Steph Curry makes everybody around him better because he makes everybody's job easier. LeBron at his peak. Magic Johnson. Who else? Luka Doncic makes everybody around him better. Luka, I mean, you clearly see with less what Luka does. Trae Young makes everybody around him better. He really does. He just does so much for that team. I don't see that with even when Kobe was in the league, I didn't feel like he made people around him better. I don't feel like he just made everything easier for them. Same thing with Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson. I don't feel like none of these guys made Steve Nash made everybody around him better. John Stockton, Steve Nash, Chris Paul. You got to be a facilitator of the basket to make everybody around you better. You can't just be a guy who just shoots shots and makes everybody around you better. And if you don't make your team better, everybody around you better. I don't think you could. Giannis makes everybody around him better because Giannis is a facilitator too, man. Let's think about Giannis. When Giannis really started taking off is when Jason Kidd was coaching the Bucks, and Jason Kidd made Giannis the point guard. He made him the point guard, a point forward, basically. And now, you know, he's strayed away from just being the point forward because you got Drew Holiday and Middleton and other guys that can bring the ball up. But Giannis could just get the rebound and bring it all the way up, dish it off, take it to the basket. He makes everybody around him better. And Durant doesn't do that. Nikola Jokic makes everybody around him better. I mean, look what he's had to work with. He hasn't even had his second and third best scorers. He's got Aaron Gordon and Will Barton, and they made the playoffs, you know. I mean, you had at the beginning of the season, the Blazers had Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum before Dame Lillard got hurt. They couldn't win jack. Jokic is – I would say Jokic is a better overall player than Durant. He does more for his team. Rebounds, facilitates, I mean, scores, gets steals, block. I mean, he just does so much more. I don't know. If Durant is on the Nuggets, they don't make the playoffs. If Durant is on the Nuggets, they don't make the playoffs. Kevin Durant is not the best player in the world. I don't know that even Kevin Durant is. I got Giannis. Giannis, Embiid. Luka. Joker. Steph. I got all those guys over Durant. I'm sorry. Y'all might think I'm batshit crazy, but I got all those guys. I mean, all those guys over him. I really do. I really do. I got all those guys over him because I don't think he makes – I mean, he's probably better than LeBron at this point because LeBron couldn't – he couldn't lift up. I honestly feel like even with Westbrook and the people he had, LeBron should have been able to win a lot more games with the Lakers than they did. I really do. I really do. All right, before I get into this little topic – which is a movie-related topic. I don't get into movie too much movie-related topics. I'm going to start plugging in more movie-related topics as I'm watching movies, throwback movies, old movies, new movies, whatever it may be. But let's get into another sponsor. Word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pool promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
That's right. You need online marketing promotions. You need SEO, press releases, social media ads, TikTok influencers, Instagram influencers, blog placements, playlist pitching, and much, much more. Please go to promopalace.biz. Get marketing promotions from promopalace.biz. I watched a new movie yesterday on HBO Max. I watched The Batman. I have to say, I was impressed. I thought it was a very good movie. I'm not gonna do anything to spoil the movie. No spoiler alerts, anything. Except that Colin Farrell was playing the Penguin, and I was shocked when I looked up the cast and saw he was playing the Penguin, and I was like, "Wow!" I thought he did one of his best jobs ever as an actor. I thought the movie was the most realistic looking Batman they've ever made. It was the most realistic Batman they ever made. It really was. Especially with the fact that he had more of like a muscle car, a souped up muscle car. And, you know, he was parachuting and using skydiving stuff. And just, you know, things that were more realistic. It just seemed more realistic. It was a very dark movie. I will say it was very, very dark. I think that the guy that plays the Batman, let me pull up. Let me get his. I don't want to get his name wrong because the last Batman before him was Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson did a way better job than Ben Affleck. I'm going to have to say, in my opinion, he's probably the second best Batman behind Christian Bale and then Michael Keaton at three. And a lot of this is the thing. It made me think. Watching this movie made me think about movie remakes and how well they did with this one. Because I'm not big on a lot of DC movies for the most part. But DC has couple big remakes. It made me think about movie remakes. I was comparing all the this Batman to all the other Batmans. This is probably the It's got to be in the top three or four, I would think, of all Batman movies. At least top three or four. Maybe number four behind all three of the Christian Bale movies. And maybe number three beating one of those out. Because all those are pretty good. It might be better than the first Batman movie with Christian Knight or Christian Bale, might be. I don't know, you know, but definitely top. Definitely is beating out all the other ones. George Clooney, Val Kilmer. And it made me think a lot. Some of those were corny as hell. Some of those were really corny as hell. Arnold was in one, Danny DeVito. They were pretty corny. And I was thinking of some of the biggest remakes of all time. Like the Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, King Kong, Godzilla. These movies have been standard remakes over and over again. And for the most part, they've been very successful. I mean, some of the Batmans were corny, but the Batman franchise even back then was so big probably that they probably might have did well, like at first. Like, in the, you know, as far as box office sales, and then the reviews were probably bad. That was thinking, all right, so the new Batman was probably top three or top four. I mean, all the Supermans, even for the times, have been pretty good. The last Superman was clearly the best. Clearly the best. And that one was called, let me see. I want to say it was Superman. No, that ain't Superman Returns. Man. Let me see. Let me pull it up. The one with Henry Cavill. Man of Steel. Okay, Man of Steel was the best Superman. Best Superman ever. Like, all the Supermans have been pretty good, but this last one was the best one ever. So, and this last Batman was definitely, to me, better than a Ben Affleck Batman versus Superman, because that's when he kind of brought in his Batman character, Batman versus Superman, and then the Justice League. But it was still kind of really a remake of bringing Batman. And that wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. And they combined both of them, man. All the Spider-Mans have been good. I can't think of none of the Spider-Mans that have really been bad. And this last Spider-Man, even though I felt like it was a tad bit overrated as far as being like one of the best superhero movies ever. I mean, it definitely had a good storyline to it. It had a nostalgic feel and then a new feel to it. It definitely was good. And it opened up a whole nother realm for the Doctor Strange. But all the Spider-Mans have been good. King Kong's. I think of King Kong's. King Kong has always gotten better. The King Kong with Adrian Brody was real, real good. But the last one with Samuel Jackson, Skull Island, they took King Kong to a whole nother level. And that finally led up into, you know, King Kong versus Godzilla. And this time, which I felt like that could have been better. And if I'm not mistaken, they did King Kong versus Godzilla back then. Let's see. I don't know if they've ever actually. I don't know if they ever did King Kong versus Godzilla. I don't think they ever did, and I think it led up to that. But all the last King Kong was clearly way better than the original, and when you go back to the old, like the King Kong and the, what was the first King Kong movie? It's probably like in the 40s or 50s or something, maybe in the 20s. I could be wrong. 1933. I mean, then they made it again in 2005. A 2005 version was real, real good compared to 1933. And then Kong Skull Island took it to another level. Now, Godzilla, on the other hand, has not been too impressive of a series. Godzilla has not really been all that great. None of the Godzillas I thought were all that. If I had to pick my best one, it might be the one with what's his name? Hold up. Matthew Broderick. Might be the one with Matthew Broderick. The Godzillas weren't all that great. You had the Godzilla King of Monsters. Then you had a 2014 version. Godzilla hasn't really been all that great. That's why I think Godzilla to me, or Godzilla and Kong versus Kong, was the best version I felt Godzilla has. Now let me get into another couple movies that I like. I was a big fan of Dune back in the days, and Dune, they've remade that. I'm really impressed at how they did it. Back in the days, it was just one movie, but the story is so kind of cool and captivating that they've extended out into two parts. Now, the first part so far, I was highly impressed at a remake. I was highly impressed. And if the second part goes the way I think it is, it's going to be even way better than the first. And the fact that they brought up two parts is really great. The cast is great. They got a lot of good actors in there. Yeah, I'm highly impressed with the Dune remake. And I'm really excited to see part two. I watched it again earlier today after watching Batman last night. And that's what kind of made me think, like, oh, Dune's a remake, Batman's a remake. I got to get in these remakes and just the top remakes to me. Dune is definitely one of them. The new Batman, like I said, is for remakes is real good. The Last Superman, Kong Skull Island, which has led up to the Kong versus Godzilla. It's really just Godzilla that, wasn't really all that great. And Godzilla's still been successful as far as remakes goes, probably in sales and whatnot, because it's Godzilla, but they could have done so much better, I think. Especially with the one leading up to Godzilla King of the Monsters. It was okay, but and not even that one. The one before that, when they had the praying mantis looking monsters. I just didn't think that one was very impressive at all. It could have been a lot better to me. Now, another remake that I thought was really good from an old school movie was The Magnificent Seven with Denzel and Chris Pratt. They had a nice little cast of characters in there. I thought it was a good movie. It was a good remake. It's probably nowhere near the original, because that's the thing. A lot of these cowboy remakes, a lot of the originals are really, really, really good. A lot of the originals are really good, I'm surprised we haven't seen a remake of Bullet yet. Like old Steve McQueen movie. Then I think about some like a TV show that they made a remake into a movie that I thought was pretty good, but I was a little upset and disappointed they didn't come out with a part two, and that was the A-Team. I thought the A-Team was a pretty good, like, for who they picked to play the characters. I thought they did the best casting that you could possibly do for the remake of the A-Team. With Liam Neeson and Rampage Jackson and Bradley Cooper. I mean, like, you couldn't have really did better than that. G.I. Joe was a remake of a cartoon that I thought was very, very disappointing. The second G.I. Joe was better than the first, with the fighting scenes on the mountains and stuff with Storm Shadow and all that, and Jinx and other ninjas. But for the most part, G.I. Joe was a very disappointing remake. Very disappointing remake. Trying to think of other remakes, like things that they remade, like, because sometimes they'll remake cartoons in the movies. I don't know. I can't think of too much more. This one ain't a movie, but I know that new Lion King was nowhere near the original. The original cartoon, just the cartoon version. Lion King is a cartoon. As a cartoon movie, let me think, in my lifetime, I'm 42 years old, can I think of a bigger cartoon movie than The Lion King? I don't know, man. I don't know that I could think of a bigger cartoon movie in my lifetime than The Lion King. I just don't know that I can, you know? I just can't think of, you know, I just really can't. Oh, here's another one. The Mad Max. I wasn't big on the new Mad Max compared to, I think it's supposed to be coming out another one. I think the original Mad Max was just so far better than the remake of that. Total Recall, they redid that. I didn't think that was too great a remake either. Definitely wasn't feeling that. The original Total Recall with Arnold is way better. The Mad Max definitely wasn't really feeling that. Let me see. Another one that they've movie they'd have been just some other movies that they just continuously just do too many remakes of, I think, is like they've done too many of Texas Chainsaw Massacres. Michael Myers ain't really a remake, it's still on the same storyline, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre was one. Dread, I think, is a remake. That was another one. RoboCop. The RoboCop remake was pretty good. The RoboCop remake was pretty good, I thought, compared to the first. Dread, I'd have to go. I never really don't know if I've seen the old Dread. I'd have to go back and watch that. And I could. Maybe I did, and I'm just overlooking it. But, yeah, remakes don't always go well. Oh, that's another one. Planet of the Apes. The newest Planet of the Apes. Oh, well, far better than original ones. I just like the concept of, like, they injected the apes with some kind of enhancer, some chemical enhancers or something that just made them smarter and whatnot. To me, it was just more of an interesting and intriguing notion of Planet of the Apes, opposed to just like being in space and landing on a planet that was ran by apes riding horses and stuff. This one kind of made it more, it was more interesting because the apes just got kind of smarter and took over Earth, you know, and we didn't pretty much, and even then, though, the original Planet of the Apes, you know, like the one with, it was, yeah, it's way better than the one, the originals. Cause then you had the one with Mark Wahlberg, which was way better than the originals. Yeah, Planet of the Apes, definitely. The way they went with it, you know, with the apes just getting smarter on Earth and people just pretty much dying off, a lot of people dying off because of, I guess, that chemical that they put into the apes or whatnot. I thought that was definitely, they took that to a whole nother level as well, too. So, yeah, that's some of the best remakes, man. Planet of the Apes, definitely like the Dune, the Magnificent Seven. Godzilla could have been better. King Kong hasn't really disappointed. Spider-Man's not disappointed. Superman, the last Superman was just way better. And that new Batman was really, really good with the Riddler, you know, and it was just really, really dark. It was darker than the Dark Knight, man. It really was. And the guy that played the Riddler did a very, very good job. Very good job. Let me pull up, see if there's any NFL news. I don't really got any world topics I'm gonna get into today. I'm going to have some guests on this week, and a former music and politics with them, and just kind of get their takes on what's going on with the school system nowadays and you know, the police systems as well. You know, maybe they could give us some ideas of things that, you know, that could be better on the police force and whatnot. Like any NFL news, Bucks restructure Brady's contract, free up $9 million. Tom Brady and Steph Curry, man, are the ultimate team players. That's another thing I want to talk about. When it comes to basketball, Steph Curry is the ultimate, and I mean the ultimate team guy, team player, the ultimate sacrificer, number one superstar with the most sacrifices ever. I mean, this guy is literally coming off the bench right now. There's no way I could be making money. And let me take that back. If I'm making money that Steph Curry's making, what does it matter if I'm coming off the bench or not? If I'm still getting my shots, I'm still getting my minutes, if I'm finishing the game, what does it matter? I think that's really that's ego talking when you're making – $35 million a year, $40 million a year, and you're complaining because you're coming off the bench, but you still get more minutes than any starter. That's like, come on, man. That's ego talking. So Tom Brady is the number one NFL team guy ever, and Steph Curry is the all-time NBA team guy ever. And oh, yeah, Scottie Barnes wins Rookie of the Year. I forgot. Congratulations to Scottie Barnes, Rookie of the Year, Toronto Raptors. Definitely deserved it. Team made the playoffs. He was consistent all year long, healthy all year long. Evan Mobley don't get hurt, he probably wins this award. And if Jared Allen doesn't get hurt, he still might win this award too. So there's that. But congratulations to Scottie Barnes. Congratulations. Before I go, don't forget the audio version of my podcast. It goes to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, and much, much more. We're going to upload another word from our sponsor, of course, that is me. This is the Paul Pickett Podcast commercial and sponsorship. Of course, Paul Pickett Podcast has to be sponsored by myself as well, Paul Pickett.
One and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast,
aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and more. Please check me out 3 to 4 days a week on my video podcast on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Rumble. And check out the audio version on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much more. Peace. See you there. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. This is episode 135 of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace. And I'll